Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker today is the University Chancellor, Dr. Bob Jones III. The title of his message is, Ponder the Path of Thy Feet. The text is from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 25 through 27.
The most sobering reality in the world today is that people are dying and going to hell today. Those of you that have been here in past years know this is something we occasionally remind ourselves of in chapel, because it's something we should always, as Christians, be reminded of every day of our lives. Sunday, I was preaching at the 7th anniversary of the Anchor Baptist Church in North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And a graduate came up to me afterwards and he said, 10 years ago, when I was a student at BJU, we used to say in chapel occasionally, the most sobering reality in the world today is that people are dying and going to hell today. He said, I never got away from that. He said, it sticks with me every day of my life. Just want to thank you that that reality was laid deep in my life. I said, I'll tell the students about that on Tuesday. We haven't said that yet this year in chapel, I don't believe. And so we're going to say it this morning. Here's the way it works. I'll say the first part, the most sobering reality in the world today is that, and you will complete it. People are dying and going to hell today. Okay, shall we try that? It's pretty easy. I'll say the first part. Your part is people are dying and going to hell today. Okay, you complete it. I'll say the first part. The most sobering reality in the world today is that is that a reality to you? Is this something that you take with you when you go in town to shop? When you go about your work activities in town? You take with you the reality that most of those people around you are dying and going to hell today? There's nothing else they have to do in this world to go to hell except to die. Sometimes in watching ball games, they go to the blimp overhead and they'll show an aerial shot of the stadium. 60, 70, 80,000 people in this stadium. As you look down that stadium, does the thought occur to you that almost everybody in that stadium is going to hell today? What about when you go grocery shopping? Up and down the aisles, pushing and shoving. Other people's carts in your way. Can't find what you're looking for. Thinking about all kinds of things, but does the thought occur to you that most of those people shopping in that store are dying and going to hell today? The most sobering reality in the world today is that people are dying and going to hell today. You and I will meet one or two or three of those people today. What are we going to do about it? Think collectively what each person in this room with an awareness that people are dying and going to hell today. Think of what a difference it would make if we made it our responsibility, as it is our responsibility. If we assumed the responsibility that's ours to tell them that Jesus saves. Think of all the genuinely born again people in America who, if they would take that requirement of the Lord that He left when He ascended on high, to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. What if we really took that seriously? Made it our objective, because He said it should be, to tell people they don't have to die and go to hell today, because Jesus saves. We have good news to tell, and we have an obligation to tell it. Would you please open your Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 4. The last three verses of Proverbs 4. Glad you brought your Bibles. It's a nice sound to hear the pages turning. Some of you don't have yours. If you're sitting next to somebody who was forgetful today, or perhaps even uncaring, but I assume forgetful, Would you share your Bible with them, please? They need to look on. Please share your Bible with somebody next to you that does not have his Bible. Verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy feet from evil. Wednesday, June 28, 06, the Wall Street Journal said the following. Please listen carefully. Our leisure pursuits, the games we play, the music we listen to, the films we watch often reveal a great deal about what captures our imagination and brings us joy in life, about what enlivens the true spirit of our authentic self. The folks who work in Hollywood's dream factories understand this, so too do the philosophers, playwrights, and poets. They've long maintained that our modes of music and dance often bring into public view the condition of our souls. The entertainment, particularly the music part of it, is a reflection of the soul of a nation, the people of a nation. Brings our souls into view. This passage that we read expresses also the reality that it is incumbent upon us to ponder the path of our going, bring our souls into view. Where's our life going? What is it all about? The Bible admonishes us to do it. You know, our busy schedules, the constant noise, the constant input, the constant distractions of our electronics, of all of our technology, our cell phones, iPods, always something coming into our ears, something to distract us from stopping to think, stopping to ponder the path of our feet. The devil does not want us to ponder the path of our feet. Where are we going? I was talking to a student last week. I said, how did you happen to come here? She said, I was a student in a state university, and my life was going nowhere good. I was a miserable wretch. I couldn't stand myself. I woke up one morning, looked in the mirror, did not like the life I saw in that mirror, and said, I must do something about this life of mine. Suddenly, she said, I thought about the fact that I had two cousins who went to Bob Jones University, and I remember them telling me it's a place of strict rules. And she said, I desperately needed strict rules for my life. And I knew it. And I applied to the university, and I came looking for a better path of life. One that I could walk on without guilt and shame and disrespect for my miserable life. And she said, in the first evangelistic service of the opening of the school year, I found Christ as my Savior. She didn't just find a better path of life. She found the path of life. For Christ said, I am the way, I am the path. And no man comes to the Father but by me. There's nothing the devil would delight in more than for any of us to be so busy and distracted and heedless and careless about the path of life before us that we continue walking on a path littered with destructive elements that cause us to stumble and fall and get hurt, or to refuse to look at the path before us and realize that our feet, though they may be on a right path, are pointed in the wrong direction on that path. Where's your life going? That's the issue of this verse. That's the question of this hour. Where's your life going? The Lord would have us stop this morning and ponder the path of our feet for several reasons. Number one, we can be sure the Lord is pondering our path. Look at Proverbs 5, Verse 21. The ways of man, that could be translated the moral character of man. The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. He pondereth all his goings. The Bible says the Lord is watching the path that your feet are taking. He knows. And he said, I want you to know. I want you to stop, ponder, consider, look carefully at the path of your life. Is your character straight or is it crooked? What do you see when you honestly stop long enough to look at your life? There are, according to Proverbs 5:21 and Proverbs 4:26, there are 4 feet on our path, 2 of ours and 2 of his. He's walking alongside us, and he is looking at the path of our life. If we insist on walking on the wrong road, he's going to leave us because he can't fellowship with darkness. And if he leaves us, we have only our feet on the path. Can you think of anything more dangerous, more insecure, more treacherous than walking the path of life without his 2 feet beside you? All the dangers that you're open to, all the things to stumble over that hurt. I can't imagine that. The road of life is too scary, too unpredictable, too full of danger for me to walk that path alone. But some of you are, because you have not Christ. The Lord is watching your path. I would remind us, secondly, that not every path will do. Not all paths are equally valid. As far as salvation, you know that to be true. Matthew 7:14, the Lord said, narrow is the path that leads to everlasting life. Broad is the path that leads to destruction. There is a prescribed path that leads to eternal life. And he said, I am that path. You're sitting here this morning, some of you, and you know not the Savior. You've never entered into that path. You've never entered into him who is the path of everlasting life. You know it. Your friends know it. Some of you even confess it to be so, and some of you pretend that it is not so, but you know it is so. What will you do with Jesus Christ? Ponder the path of your feet. Does it lead to destruction? Or to eternal life. Secondly, there's a path of human reason that you may think is right. Proverbs 16:25. There's a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. See, he said, I'm all right. I'm satisfied with my path. Well, fine. But the Lord who looks at the path has an opinion about your path. What does he think about the path that your feet are on? That's what matters. Not whether you're satisfied with it or not. I'm comfortable. I like the path. I have pretty much what I need. So why should I bother? Well, if you're on the broad path that leads to destruction, you'd better bother. Because it leads to hell. There's a way that seems right unto man. It feels good to you. It's the way that most people in this world are walking. And you say, why should I be bothered? Why are you trying to wake me up? Because the devil would love to carry you sound asleep in his arms into hell. That's why. There's another reason we should ponder the path of our feet, and that is that there are treacherous enemies along the way on the wrong path. Psalm 5:8 says, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy path straight. Lead me plainly, Lord, because there are enemies along the way. This present evil world is an enemy. My own temptations are an enemy. Perhaps my friends are an enemy, and the wrong friends certainly will be an enemy. Perhaps your pride is the enemy. I don't know what the enemy. There are probably many of them along the pathway of life. And anybody in his right mind does what the psalmist does and cries out and said, Lord, because there are so many enemies, lead me plainly on this path. Show me where the enemies are. Make it plain to me, Lord. And thirdly, that's the Lord's part in our being on the right path. And our part is found in verse 26. Our part is to ponder the path. I would beg you, young people, to remove everything off the path that you're walking on that would cause you to stumble and get hurt. That's what Hebrews 12 says. It says in verse 1, wherefore, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily besets us and run with patience the race that is set before us. We're on a race course. We're on a path. And we'd better get it off that path. Lay aside from that path those things that are going to cause us to stumble and fall. Listen, some of you have already been wounded on this path because you have not taken off the path those obstacles that are dangerous to your successful walking of that path. And you've already stumbled on them. You've already gotten hurt. Well, don't keep walking on the path with those things still before you where you'll continue to stumble and get hurt. Get them off the path. Some of you are spiritually lame today as you walk along the path, as you've stumbled along the way over things that you should have never allowed to be on the path in the first place. And you continue to stumble. Move them off the path. Don't continue to get hurt and walk crippled. Some of you have a spiritual hitch in your get along. You're lame because you've stumbled over repeated sins on the path. You never got them out of the way. How long will you continue to be hurt in this way? Why will you have that pain again and again and again? You don't have to. Restore your walk to a soundness before you get hurt utterly on the path. And verse 27 says, don't turn aside on the path. Don't go to the right or the left of the path. Remove your feet from the evil direction of the path. You know, the prodigal son, before he ever walked out of his father's house, had his feet pointed in the wrong direction. Which direction are your feet planted on the path? If you ponder the path, you'll find out the answer to that. If you look down and say, yeah, I'm on the right path. I'm on the way of eternal life, but my feet are pointed the wrong way. I'm headed to the ditch. And if I don't straighten my walk up, I'm into the ditch. If the prodigal had only looked at the direction his feet were pointed, perhaps he would have never ended up in the pig pen. They were pointed to the pig pen. And he never stopped to ponder that. You can be in a good home, a good church, a good school with your feet pointed the wrong direction. You can be in a good home, a good church, a good school, and your feet are pointed the wrong way theologically, pointed the wrong way matrimonially. You're about to make a terrible mistake and marry someone that can only bring you heartache and ruin. Certainly, if you're going to marry an unsaved person, it's very clear in the Scripture we're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. In a good place, where are your feet pointed? Where are they headed morally? Some of you are making plans today. Your feet are already pointed. Your plans are already made today to carry you into the ditch of sin somewhere. You and your girlfriend have already planned it. You and your reprobate circle of boys or girls friends, you've already got plans laid today. Your feet are already headed to the ditch. Because your heart is already headed the wrong way. you should have considered a long time ago the direction your feet are pointed on the path of life. There was a girl named Kim who graduated from here. You that have been here before may have heard me tell this story. Kim was a sweet girl. She was called of God to missions. She met a boy here in her sophomore year. She prayed for God to point her to a man that was headed to missions too, that they could marry and serve God on the mission field. She thought she had found this boy, and they dated from their sophomore to their senior year. They got married at Christmas their senior year. She graduated in May, and in July she called me weeping, and she said, "My life is ruined." I said, "What's the matter, Kim?" She said, "Well, I did not know this. I thought he was a wonderful boy. But he's been charged on 4 counts of rape. 2 occurred while he was in school, and 2 have occurred since May, since we graduated." And she said, "He's facing trial." Ultimately, she told me he went to trial, and he's serving 25 years in the federal penitentiary today for 4 counts of rape. She said, "We'll never get to the mission field. My dreams are shattered." I said, "Tell me about the history of this guy. This didn't happen overnight. What happened?" She said, "We found out later he'd been into pornography since he was 14 years old. He was looked upon in his church and his Christian school, and as well as BJU, as an upstanding model Christian. Active on extension, doing all these things, but a reprobate in heart. He never stopped to ponder the direction his feet were pointed on the path. When you headed to BJU this fall, there was another guy headed here with you from the Midwest. He got in his car. He bid his parents goodbye. They had prayer together as a family. He's from a great church, a great Christian family. He was headed back to school as a returning student, but instead of coming south to school, he headed east to meet a 13-year-old girl that he had been carrying on email correspondence with, internet communication with, making arrangements to have a sexual relationship with her on his way to school, a 13-year-old girl. Only when he got there, it wasn't a 13-year-old girl, it was an undercover policewoman. And I just heard from his pastor the other day. He's facing 10 years in the penitentiary. Oh, if he'd only pondered the path of his feet. He was headed the wrong direction when he left his house. The Bible says, "Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." In conclusion, you don't need to turn there. There's a wonderful verse in Psalm 143:8. The psalmist cried out to God, "Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee." If the soul desires the Lord's direction, the will of God, if the soul desires that and asks God, "Show me the way to walk," "Show me the right decisions to make in life." If there is that commitment to the right decision, that commitment to the will of God, that very commitment which has already pondered the path of the feet, which is already said in the heart, "Dear God, I want my feet on the right path, headed the right direction." Then in spite of all your weakness and all of your propensity to turn to the right or to the left, you have some divine help. And you and I are just not going to make it through this world if the Lord's feet aren't there with us, helping our feet to stay right. Do you have the desire in your heart today to pray the prayer that the psalmist prayed? "Cause me to know the path wherein I should walk." I lift up my soul, Lord, asking for that. Do you have that desire? Let's pray together. I'm going to give you just a moment in your heart, if the desire is there, to pray perhaps for the first time or to reaffirm a prayer that you have prayed often. Cause me to know the path wherein I should walk, for I cry out to you for that, Lord. I'm asking you for that. And with all my heart, I want it. You will not pray that prayer if you have a stubborn pathway already planned for yourself, a pathway of wrong. If you are unsaved, you will not pray that prayer. But if you love God, you will, because you know the danger. You know the hurt and the harm. You know the misery of the ditch. And you know that if your life is to be successful, this is a prayer you need to pray today and every day. Lord, cause me to know the path you want me to take. I lift up my heart to you.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the University Chancellor, Dr. Bob Jones III. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.